As announced, this is the first weekend in Advent. Start a whole new series. We're going to have different people that played a significant role in the Savior's birth, and Elizabeth is up this first weekend. But before we get to that, let's do a little sermon warm up, because sometimes you need a little warm up before the sermon starts. So let's say these words together. God is making life out of the barren places. So I'm going to say something, then you respond with that, okay? God, I'm watching the news, and sometimes I wonder if you've left us to our own devices. God, my friends often look at me like I'm an idiot. God, I can't believe it's already December. God, I really don't want Michigan and Florida to play again in a bowl game. God, aren't the holidays supposed to bring us all together? God is making life. Yes, he is. And again, our first person that we're going to focus on today in this first weekend in Advent is Elizabeth. Let's watch this together.
No spring chicken. That's the first thing my neighbor said to me when I told her I was pregnant. Can you believe that? Maybe she just didn't believe me, but I don't hold it against her. She'd been a tad bit cranky ever since she found that scorpion in her girdle drawer. Maybe she just didn't realize what a miracle this was for me. I mean, Zachariah and I had been trying to have a child of our own our whole lives. By the time most of my hair had turned gray and Zachariah's had turned loose, we had given up hope. But nothing is impossible for God. He seems to delight in making life out of barren places. As if that wasn't enough, the angel who brought us this unbelievable news had even more to say. This child, our son, would be used by God to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. This was all too much of a gift to be real. And then I thought, well, how am I going to train this child for a job like that? Had those details covered too. And it keeps getting better. When I was about 6 months along, my cousin Mary came for a visit. And no sooner had she said hello than this unborn son jumped and flipped inside of me. Right then, God just opened my eyes so that I could clearly see that this young girl standing in my home was also with child, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. About 9 months later, we got the news from Bethlehem. And I looked over at Zachariah holding our very own miracle baby. I had one of those God moments. You know, when you just realize, you say, God just had different plans. He had brought us life in barren places. He hadn't forgotten about us. And he would never leave us alone again.
So here's that scene from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, beginning with the 39th verse. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So, what do you think of when you hear that word barren? I mean, we kind of maybe think of a desert, a parched land. It's not a very nice word to use with someone who can't have children. In fact, I think for the most part today, we don't really say that. If a woman cannot have children anymore, we don't use the word she's barren. Because it's a word that really just sounds empty, doesn't it? But Elizabeth heard that word. In fact, she heard it for years. And she lived at a time when a woman's worth was measured in how many children she had. So if a woman had a lot of children, well, then she must have God's favor. And if she had no children, or if she were barren, well, then that might be because God is angry at you. Or maybe you committed a particular sin, and that's why you are barren. That's really bad theology, but that's what they thought back then. But for the rest of us, when we hear that word barren, maybe think of a desert. There's an Old Testament story, you know it, where Moses is leading his people through the barren land, through the desert, and they're grumbling for a drink of water. They're complaining and complaining. They're forming, maybe we should turn around and go back committees. And Moses asks God, can you give them a drink of water? And he doesn't just give them a drink, he gives them a river. In Numbers 20, verse 11, it says, and Moses lifted up his hand and he struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank and their livestock. So like, imagine Niagara Falls in reverse, shooting up from the ground. Scripture tells us that God gave these complainers water and he gave it to them abundantly. So that's our word for the day, rabim. It means abundant. In the book of John, Jesus says, I come so that you may have life more abundantly. So not just abundant life, but that you may have life more abundantly. So it kind of assumes that life is already filled with abundance, that you already have blessing and an abundance. Jesus says, I've come that you have even more abundantly a life. And I think we can agree that we have an abundant life. I mean, look at where we live. You know, it's a great country that we're in. We have a lot of abundance around us, but Jesus is saying, but you really don't have life unless I'm in it. See, that's more than just abundance. He takes the barren places in our lives, and our lives are caused by our sin, and in his sacrifice from the cross, we receive his abundant grace, his abundant forgiveness, his presence. See, that's the life that God wants for us. And he loves to surprise us with abundance. He loves to surprise us with his plans, which are so much better than ours. He loves to surprise us with his grace, showing us that he's got all the details. So let me share with you some amazing things that happened when our family was moving from St. Charles, Missouri to the great state of Kansas. And I've shared some of these details with you. I don't think I've ever shared this from the pulpit, though. There's really some pretty incredible things when we were making that move. But like a lot of you who have moved for business and that sort of thing, you know how difficult it is to move your family. And it was difficult for us to move our family. But when the call came from this congregation to the church I was serving, then as pastors, we enter into this mode of deliberations. It's somewhat methodical, somewhat disciplined in the way we deliberate. For me, I like most pastors, just grab a select number of Bible passages. There's a number of them that I just like to go to try to discern God's will. This is a big decision if we're going to move our family or not. So the question becomes, Lord, where can I serve you best? And one of the passages that I went to and prayed over and just read and absorbed on a regular basis was Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, which says this. Make your ways known to me, O Lord. In other words, show me what you want me to do. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, because you are God, my Savior. I wait all day long for you. See, the prayer there is that God would reveal his will. This is what you're supposed to do in your life right now. And that he would grant me and grant our family a peaceful sense of conviction. You see, our plans were to stay put in St. Charles. We had family that had moved there. You know, have other friends, you know, our kids growing up there. I wanted to keep our family together in familiar places with familiar people and, you know, our doctor and our dentist, you know, and all that stuff, right? Just keep it all intact. In fact, I told God, I will serve you wherever you want me to serve you. Just don't mess with my family. And he said, thank you for that. And by the way, I'm messing with your family. But trust me. That was back in 2008. And as you know, of course, I accepted your call to serve as your senior pastor. And you should know there's lots of tears that lined I-70 back and forth. Our daughters at the time were in 9th grade, 6th grade, and 2nd grade. We were moving them mid-year, you know, in the middle of a school year to a place we didn't know and didn't know anyone. But I was following God's will. Daddy's following God's will, so here we go. You know, I clung to his word. And in prayer, I asked him, now that the decision is made, we're going to go. I said, God, please give us peace. Give me peace. And you know, after accepting the call, and again, a lot of you know this, comes all the details of a move, right? You've got to sell the house, you got to buy a house, all those logistics. So we put our home on the market in 2008 as the economy is falling to pieces, and it sold in less than a week. And we searched for a home here, the current one that we have. We found one in Olathe. I don't want to embarrass my wife now, but so we walk into this home, and my wife, Cindy, immediately goes, this is it. We're buying this house. I mean, we're barely into the front door, into the family room. She goes, this is it. We're buying this house. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it looks pretty nice. I mean, it's got nice bones and everything. She goes, no, this is it. This is it. I don't need to see any more of the house. And the realtor's like, it would probably be good to look at the other places of the house, right? You know? She goes, I know, we're buying this house. Like, okay, well, we did. We went and we looked. And we went upstairs and we went and looked at the bedrooms. And we walked into one of the bedrooms that would be one of our daughter's bedrooms. And she goes, did you see that on the mirror? And I looked over on the mirror, and there was that verse from Psalm 25. One I've been praying over, that there it was. Make your paths known to me, O Lord. It was like God saying, there you go. Welcome to your new home. I got all the details covered, trust me. And to think how hard it is to move your family and to adjust to a new community. Well, as many of you know, so many years have gone by. Not only did our daughters adjust, two of them have taken root in this area because they love this area, serving this area. And I'm praying our third daughter, our baby, second grader, who's now 19 and a freshman in college. I'm not going to point where she is, but praying that when she graduates, she too will find a spot right here in this community. And then to be surprised with all the blessings of abundance and a mission heart that God has through you. That's a whole nother sermon, but talk about being surprised by God's grace. But too oftentimes we miss the point though, don't we? We miss the point of what he's trying to do in our lives. See, Elizabeth says two things in this video. She goes, first of all, the people didn't really see it. They didn't see the miracle that was all around them. And then she also says, this is just too much of a gift to be real. I mean, how often do we just see the negative in things? You know, we wake up in the morning and the first thing we say to ourselves, ugh, what all do I have to get done today? I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Or sometimes something wonderful happens to us and we go, yeah, but I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Or like, wow, Lord, this is great. Now what bad thing is going to happen? You've all been there, right? But what does Elizabeth say? God has all the details covered. And I know it's easy to look around us and look around our lives and think that God has forgotten us. But God has all the details covered. God maybe has other plans. It might have been your plans to stay here, or whatever. As they say, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right? Maybe you thought you'd be alone forever. But God had other plans. Maybe you thought you had it all figured out, but God had other plans. And think of a time when in life when you were going through something awful, But when you look back at it now, you say, oh, okay, now I see. All right, I see why that happened. And maybe God let you go through something really hard so that he could make you stronger on the other end of it. And maybe it wasn't pleasant at the time, but look at you now. And maybe you went through that thing, whatever it is, so that God could use you to help someone else. Or maybe God's plan wasn't fully ready yet, and so you had to wait. And you had to be patient. Or maybe you're waiting on him now. Maybe you're going through something right now. And he says, I have all the details covered. And he says to you right now, trust me. But we're not very good at waiting, are we? I mean, this society that we're in, culture, I mean, I'm not good at waiting. I want everything done yesterday, right? We don't wait very well. Now speaking mostly to the kids, let me just give you an example. So way, way, way back in the day, if you wanted to research something, if you wanted to look up information, you actually had to go to a building. And it was filled with books on these shelves, and you would have to go through a bunch of cards, you know, organized by some guy named Dewey. And then you'd find where that book is located, and you would walk down to that row, whatever, and chances might be that that book is not there because someone has checked it out, so you had to wait for that book to be returned before you can research your project. And now we get upset if our phone doesn't spit out the answer in 4 seconds or less, right? We're not good at waiting, are we? We don't wait well. Elizabeth and Zechariah were waiting their whole lives for this one event. And I love how Elizabeth talks about it as God moments. Because we've all had those, right? One of those moments where it feels like everything is right with the world moments. When all the great cosmic tumblers have just fallen into place, we feel like we're at the right place at the right time. It doesn't get any better than this. This is a great moment. Well, I think what we're reminded in this scene here, God is not a God of moments. God is a God of always. In fact, God's name, one of the names he calls himself is Yahweh. I am who I am. Or a more literal translation of the Hebrew would be, I am becoming who I am becoming. In other words, God is eternal and God is everywhere and God is in all places. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. God has no beginning or end. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. God is eternal. He doesn't live in moments. It's an always thing. But why do we think of it as God moments? If Jesus said he came so that we could live life more abundantly, if he meant that we're to live life like that fountain in a desert, then why do we oftentimes think of his presence as just being in moments? And maybe it's because we're like Elizabeth's neighbors and we don't see the miracle. We don't see all that God is doing around us all the time. God is making life in barren places, and he's doing it all the time. Those barren places in your soul, God is making life in them. And he's sending water from that rock. And we can either grab an umbrella or we can throw our arms out and get drenched by it. You see, this season we're in is we're making our way towards that manger. You know, in the birth of our Savior, God sent his Son and nothing has been the same since. God is eternal. God is making life in barren places. Our prayer in this season is that he opens our eyes and he opens our hearts so we can see the miracles that are all around us. In fact, let's pray over that now. Pray with me. Gracious God, the miracle is right in front of us. It's above us and beneath us and beside us and behind us. We're surrounded by you. Help us open our eyes. Open our ears and minds and hearts. Something is happening, God. Don't let us miss it. Help us to see this holiday, this season, as a gift, not as a chore. Most of all, Lord, as we behold you, the light of the world, let others see you in us. We pray this in Jesus' name, our Advent King. Amen.